written. I think that's good, because as you read them, you sometimes say, people say to you, well, I don't really believe the Bible, it contradicts itself. And it's interesting, you read eyewitness accounts, they are slightly different. So as I was preparing, I read through the different accounts, and they were slightly different. But as we pick up the story, the two Marys have visited the tomb, the stone has been rolled away, the guards have run off, absolutely petrified, an angel appears to them, the disciples are called to see what has happened, Jesus appears to Mary and calls her by name. And all of these things have happened. And then in verse 19, where our reading starts, the disciples are meeting together behind closed doors in fear of the religious leaders, still shocked following the events of the last few days, trying to take in what they've seen. Can you imagine it? You know, sometimes when something traumatic has happened to us, we're like, well, did it really happen? You know, what are the disciples thinking? Was the tomb really empty? Was I just imagining it? Maybe they're feeling guilty that they deserted Jesus when he most needed his friends. Maybe they're worried that they're definitely worried that the authorities have killed Jesus. Then what's going to happen to them? And then suddenly, Jesus is standing there amongst them. I don't know if that just happened suddenly. Here he is standing in front of them. And we read that they are overjoyed. And we also realise that Jesus is not restricted by the physical laws of nature. He appears before them, but he's not a ghost. But he's someone with flesh. And 8 days later, Thomas touches Jesus and feels the wound in his hand and his side. And Jesus understands what we all need, what Thomas needed. He needed to see for himself. So Thomas hadn't been there 8 days earlier, but Jesus took the time to spend time specifically with Thomas, because that is what Thomas needed. Jesus is amazingly patient with all of them and with us. And just to prove later on that he's not a ghost, Luke tells us that he asks for a piece of fish and he stands in front of them eating. And what does that say to us? That Jesus understands us. He understands what we need. So can I have my PowerPoint, next PowerPoint slide? Peace be with you. Lovely. So I'm not a Greek Hebrew scholar, but I went to some of my books and I went to the internet and I looked at the meaning of peace in the Greek, very similar to our little Ukrainian girl's name, actually, Irina. I don't know how you pronounce this, Irene, Greek. I'm probably totally wrong there. Peace of mind. A common Jewish farewell. What we say to each other, tying things together as a whole, peace, wholeness, in Hebrew, the word shalom, a well-being. I remember many years ago listening to Steve Chalk talking about shalom, and he said in a few months' time, you're going to hear the word well-being a lot in education. This was many years ago, and here we are, well-being all the time, not just in education, in mental health, in education and all over counselling. To be complete, to be sound, to be in harmony, to be in a right relationship. And shalom was said when you left somewhere, when you said goodbye, may you have peace as you travel from here to where you're going. And then Jesus commissions his core group of followers. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. But you're not doing this in your own power. So look what happens next. Jesus repeats this phrase, and then he breathes on them and says to his disciples, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I remember many years ago, David Wilson, who was the national director of Agape, Campus Crusade for Christ, and Mandy and I worked with for a long time, talked about how the Holy Spirit is described as the Comforter, and Jesus talks about sending another Comforter, and he talked about a set of keys. I left my keys in my coat. I was going to have them in my pocket. But on my key ring, I've got a car key. I've got a front door key. I've got another key. They're keys. But one is a car key. One is my front door key. Another key. And Jesus says, I can't be here, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, who's going to be another Comforter. And that Comforter can not only be with his disciples, he can be with every follower. And we see that later on in the Bible, how that comes to be. So, what is peace not? What God's peace is not? So the world's idea of peace is something totally different. It might be the absence of war. It might be the war in Ukraine coming to an end. Wouldn't that be fantastic? An absence of noise. I live in a house that is sometimes very quiet and sometimes very noisy. I have my lovely grandchildren when they come to see me. Adeline's first words are, "Grandpa, can we play schools?" She's always the teacher. I'm always a pupil. "Can we play shops?" She's always the shopkeeper. "Can we play the piano?" This is the latest. She teaches me to play the piano, and the piano books are usually her story books that she puts on the piano stand, and I have to make up a piano piece. But it's far from peaceful, and I often get told off for playing the piece incorrectly because I'm not quite in tune with what she wants. So, examples in the Bible, three examples of peace. Firstly, we have Mark 5. Jesus is speaking to the woman who is bleeding, and he says to her, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." She was not only physically healed, she was mentally and physically healed too. Secondly, in Luke 7, verse 50, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is to the woman who extravagantly pours the oil on Jesus' feet, and he sends her out with the assurance of his love and his forgiveness, eternal peace. And thirdly, John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, not as the world gives." A complete peace, not as the world gives. And I couldn't resist including an example of perfect peace. Peace, hopefully, yes, there he is, the arrival of our little grandson, Alder Thomas. An example, isn't it, of perfect peace, that little baby, and held in his father's arms. That's also something amazing and powerful, isn't it? How we are held in our father's arms. We were very blessed to go down to London and see him and get lots and lots of cuddles over the last few days. And anyone who's on any of our WhatsApp groups, we apologise that you will be getting lots of photographs over the next few weeks, months, years, forever. But peace can happen in the midst of a storm. And I looked and I found a video of describing a picture of a tiny, tiny bird behind a waterfall. And hopefully, if the technology works, we'll be able to watch it, and it explains itself very well.
Jack heard a story about a major art gallery offering prizes for the best painting on the subject of peace. Most decided that one certain painting was sure to win. It portrayed this lush green pasture under a vivid blue sky. It really made you feel peaceful. but it came in second. The painting that won featured an ocean in a violent storm with lightning crashing in a turbulent waterfall. But you had to look twice to see that about halfway up the cliff was a nest with a mother bird and her little babies tucked underneath her, sleeping soundly. That was peace. Jack wanted to convey how we can have peace in the storms of our lives. It is through Christ. Do you see him in the boulder, facing the storms with confidence? We do have evil in this world. Do you see the beastly head? But notice the cross that is placed over the evil. We can say confidently, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He is our strong rock and refuge, only in Christ, who triumphed over death, leaving an empty tomb. We have peace in the midst of our storm. Jesus said in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world.
Isn't that amazing? So God doesn't promise us peace without anything else going on. I was saying earlier on to Doreen, I suffer from Crohn's, and many years ago, my way of dealing with it was to avoid going anywhere. So I try and get out of travelling, I try and not do talks in front of people. And God began to send me to different places. I'd go on a trip by minibus to Holland, and then I had to go to South Africa, and I'm like, what? Why are you doing this, God? You know, but he enabled me to do that, and he gave me peace. And sometimes Mandy, you know, I'm like, I'm not feeling very well. And Mandy's like, just breathe, just experience God's peace. And yeah, he doesn't take away the storms in our lives, does he? Not always. Peace is about being restored to wholeness. And again, I've pronouncing Greek words. Here's my Japanese, kintsugi, kintsugi. The Japanese, I don't know how the story totally goes, but it's about a bowl, broken bowls that you would throw away. But actually the Japanese began to think, actually, do you know what? We can make something beautiful out of something that is broken. And they began to create art with gold paint or whatever to join up the pieces and make beautiful pieces of art. And in the same way, God can do that with us. He can restore us to wholeness. That God doesn't always calm the storm, we know that, and we see that in the Bible many times. Daniel in the lion's den, that's one example, isn't it? But God does promise to be with us, and he does promise us peace like a river. And our second little video clip is a song, a very old hymn, called It Is Well With My Soul, When Peace Like a River. So we're just going to listen to this song and let the words, powerful words, speak to you. And towards the end, I'll come up and bring this talk to a conclusion. But let's just enjoy the words of this song.
When peace like a
thank you.
Song and how Jesus nailed to the cross has taken our sin, and we may be sitting here thinking, do you know what, it's not really well with my soul. I know in my head the fact that Jesus has died on the cross for me, but I don't experience that all the time. And Lord, I pray that you would help each one to experience that in our hearts, Lord, the fact that you died for our sin, Lord. And we thank you that you are here to listen to us. Amen. And if anybody would like prayer after the service, we have people to pray with you each week over in the prayer space over on your left. We also have a service called Breathing Space, which happens every month, which is just a time of quiet reflection. And I'd encourage you to do that. Also, if it is well with your soul and you just like to share that with someone, please just come and talk to somebody afterwards and say, yeah, I'm really thanking God for what he's doing in my life at the moment. Okay.